everyone. Welcome to Retro Asylum, episode 209, my episode. This is the Final Fantasy VII Game Club episode. My name is Chris.
Hang on, Chris.
Oh.
I know you think that this is the Final Fantasy episode, but you're very wrong.
I didn't think you were even on. I thought I was doing this on my own, Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. That's probably what our listeners are going to think after we actually do finish the Final Fantasy episode, but...
You're not gonna
As you said, this is your episode. This is your episode, mate, but it's not the Final Fantasy episode. I've got a bit of a surprise for you.
Oh, we're not going to start talking about that awful game with the guy in the pants, are we?
Oh, we're not. No, we're not. So I sent you a little something. Could you try to open that, actually? So for our listeners, I sent Chris a little present.
You did?
So, yeah, I did. So it's in that small envelope. So could you open that, mate?
What, right now?
Yeah, right now.
Should I have this checked by the police or the authorities or something? Because
you don't need to. It'll be perfectly safe.
Okay.
You probably shouldn't eat it though. But,
what, the envelope?
Or the contents.
You know me well. Right. Okay. So I've opened it. It's an Amazon cardboard thing. Oh wow! Oh god, it's some hammer beads. Hang on. There's an N. What have I got here? Okay.
So what do you got?
So, is this 720?
It is indeed.
Oh, wow!
So my kids, I told them that the next episode would be your one-year anniversary episode.
Yes.
So,
I've forgotten all about that.
Yeah, you joined us a year ago for, the very first Game Club episode where we played 720.
Oh, that is so, really cool.
I told them about that, so they made you some pixel-perfect hammer beats from the C64 sprites. So you got the 720 logo from the start screen and the skater himself, right?
So they just made this from scratch, did they, with the hammer beats?
Yeah, they did.
Christensen family, thank you so much.
Yeah, so I wanted to frame it for you, but being lazy as I always am, I forgot everything about that, so... last minute, you only received it today, didn't you?
Literally today.
Yeah. Last minute, I just chucked it into an envelope, and you'll have to frame it yourself, mate.
Hey, you guys are so kind. Thank you very much. I'll stick a picture of it out on Discord and Twitter. I will frame it myself because I've got a bit of a kind of frame collection going on in the games room here. So I'll definitely get that up on the wall. That is amazing, and I completely forgot. Actually, that I think it's a year in October, isn't it? But it was about this time last year that I first got in touch with you guys and offered up my services. So
yes, and it more than maybe a full year of being a host, it's our 1 year anniversary of the Game Club episode. Yes. At least this is our 11th. It could have been our 12th if we had two episodes as we usually want, one each month. Yeah. So this is the ending of the first year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So this is the 11th one we've done, is it?
It's the 11th Game Club episode. Okay. So we are 11 Game Club episodes in the AC era, as you like
Chris.
To call it, the after Chris era. Yes.
Well, we know that was when it all started properly, don't we?
Of course. So, Chris, actually, you thought that we were going to record a Final Fantasy episode right now, but that's not going to happen.
Oh, God.
Because I've got a completely other plan here for you. And I've even got the other guys in on it. So this is not going to be about Final Fantasy at all. This is the Game Club one-year anniversary episode, 1 year after Chris. And we are going to play some games and listen to some clips.
Oh, my God. Are you joking?
No, I'm not joking.
I've spent 100 freaking hours researching Final Fantasy VII.
You'll get to make a Final Fantasy episode, of course. Just not right now. I mean, let's do a small special here.
I'm still thinking that this is a joke and we're going to start again in a second. Are we going to start again?
No, we're not going to start again. I'm going to start by playing a little clip that Dean recorded for you. This is very low-tech. I'm holding a Bluetooth speaker up to my microphone, so I'm hoping the quality will be acceptable. If you can't hear it, you'll have to tell me, mate, and I'll just send you the audio file.
So, I'm in a state of much surprise over here.
Yeah. So let's have a go. Let me know how the levels are when I do like this.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Michael Aspel.
Get out, Aspel! You're not welcome. Go away. Look at that door. I'm not having this episode turned into an episode of This Is Your Life. Not for Chris, anyway. It's not worth it. Anyway, Chris, yes, well done. Congratulations on your first year here. I remember your first episode very well. 720 Degrees by Atari. Great arcade game. And now you're playing more RPGs with Mads. Not a good thing in my book. You know I don't like them, so buck your ideas up and talk more about this Ghost and Goblins. Anyway, yes, seriously, mate, congratulations. You've fitted in very well. We've enjoyed having you on the show, and it's a shame to see you go. Oh, he's not going. Right. Well, congratulations. Good luck on the future. See you soon. Bye-bye.
So that was our very own Dean, of course, with a small greeting here for you.
Has he just sacked me live on a podcast?
Not really.
Good.
I don't think so, at least. Let's see.
Thanks,
so Chris,
Dean.
Let's reminisce a bit. What have we been doing the past year here? So actually, before we do that, I have a quiz. Let's put you to the quiz first.
No.
Yes. So I have a quiz where the questions are questions about the game club, stuff we've been doing in the game club, and about Retro Asylum in general, and about the other hosts. So let's see how much you actually know about the Retro Asylum. So are you ready for that?
No wonder you've not had time to play Final Fantasy VII if this is what you've been doing over the past few weeks.
I've been planning this for a while, so yeah. But I did play a lot of Final Fantasy as well. We'll get to that later on, but not on this episode, mate.
It does make me sad, but this is fun.
This is going to be so much better. No worries. So let's start with the quiz. So easy first question. How many games have you played in the game club so far?
Okay, well, we've just talked about that, haven't we? So let me see. Should I see if I can name them all?
No, right now, let's go through the individual games later on. I just want a number right now.
So I think including Final Fantasy VII and not including the likes of Cloud Master and Ghosts and Goblins, which were just kind of bonus high school challenges in non-high school months. So 11...
Nah.
10?
That would be wrong. That would be wrong, of course. That's your big head talking here. That's the AC counting. So you are only going after Chris.
All right, okay.
Has arrived. So how many games have we actually played in the game club?
Okay, so let me think. So before I joined, it was Worms, Camel's Bequest. 14?
Nah, that's wrong again. So 11 was right in the AC counting, but 21 in total.
21?
21 in total,
what,
yes.
What, in the Retro Asylum Game Club? Not when you were doing this on the Retro Game Squad forum?
In the Retro Asylum Game Club.
Crikey, where was I?
I think you actually joined in on most of them, but we'll get into that later on. We'll get into that later on. You're just getting old, mate.
I blame the booze. It affects one's memory.
Yes, of course. But now that was 0 out of 1. Let's see how you fare in the next 14 questions here then.
You said that was going to be an easy one to start.
Yeah, I thought it was, but turns out it wasn't. So I've promised Dean that we'll only sack you if you get a score of 8 or less. So no worries, mate, no worries. Okay, so mention 4 games we played in the game club before you joined.
What, mention any 4?
Yeah, just I need 4 titles of games we played in the game club before you joined.
Okay, Worms.
That's one.
Kennel's Bequest.
Oh yeah, true. That was your idea, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
There was Battletoads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're doing well.
Now, to be fair, this Battletoads was the first one when you relaunched the game club, and I remember there was an episode with Paul Davies and Chris O'Regan where they were talking about it. So we're talking about kind of game club version 1 here, aren't we?
Yes, I'm only counting from Battletoads and onwards.
Mega Man 2?
No, we haven't played that.
Can I have another go?
Yes, you can.
So this would have been then on the forums, not on...
That was on... All of this must have been on Discord.
Really?
Most of it, at least, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, pre-Battletoads, I'm really struggling.
Not pre-Battletoads. Battletoads is the first one that we're counting.
I've got it! I've got it! California Games.
Yeah, good one, good one. We did have some other ones as well, some that you really liked. I remember you enjoyed playing Prince of Persia, for example.
Yes, how can I forget that? Yeah.
And there are other good games there. We'll get into all of the games later on. So, okay, I'll give you that one. There'll be 1 point.
Thanks.
Okay, so the next one we actually already answered then. What was the first game we played in the Game Club after the reboot?
Yeah, it was Battletoads.
That was Battletoads.
Yeah.
Well done. And if we go by the AC counting, it's, of course, 720 degrees.
Yeah, I think taking it from the start of that year, that January game, Battletoads, probably fair enough, yeah. Yeah, I'll allow that.
That's good. Okay, so 2 points. Which platform has gotten the most love in the AC Game Club?
In the past year. Okay, so since...
And no looking up any lists of the games we've been playing.
No, I'm kind of going through them in my head now. Ooh. Windows? DOS/Windows?
I'll give you that one. It's PC.
Yeah.
PC at least. Yeah. And that was actually a surprise to me. Going through the list, I always think that we are playing old computer games like the C64, the Amiga, and old consoles. But turns out in the Game Club, we've played 3 PC games in the past year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. PC, actually. Hmm. So that was 3 points already. You're
doing
really well.
3 out of 4.
Okay.
Rock on.
The next one is, I have to say, quite easy as well. Who has won the most of the episodes in our little host competition, Chris?
Easy, me.
No, that was actually wrong. It was me, of course, so no points for you.
I think these questions have to be open to some scrutiny.
There are no scrutiny here. They are my questions, so my rules, my game.
Your questions, your answers.
Yes, exactly. So only 3 points for you so far. Okay, next one. Let's go to some general RA stuff instead. What's Steve's favorite game?
Action Biker, that's easy.
Action Biker, an easy point right there. Let's go back in time instead. What was Sam's nickname on the show?
Mr. Sid.
So Sam Dyer? Yes, Mr. Sid is the right answer here.
Yeah.
So you're up to 5 points already.
Come on.
3 points from actually staying on the show. That's good.
How many more questions?
A lot.
All right.
No, there's 15 in total, so not that many. Okay, so where was the first ever live Retro Asylum show? The first live show. Where was that held?
I want to say in Andy's front room, but I suspect that probably isn't right. I've got these memories.
A live show, mate. Going to an event and doing a live show.
Oh, okay. Because there was a show where Andy and Dean kind of just sat in Andy's front room together recording. But at the last year, I would say Play Expo 2013.
Play Expo at least is right. I'm actually don't know the year myself. I forgot to check that. But where was this Play Expo held?
In Blackpool.
Yes, correct, mate. Play Blackpool.
And they stayed in a hotel called something like Hotel Alcatraz.
So if that's right, you're a lot better host than me because I didn't know that.
Do I get a bonus point for knowing the name of the hotel they stayed at?
No bonus points because you got the one on our little host-to-host competition wrong, so I'm a bit angry with you. Yeah, no bonus points, Mike, no bonus points.
Okay.
So who won the third 8-bit war?
Jeez, it's been a while since I've listened to those episodes. Chris O'Regan won one of them. But I'm not sure it was the third one, because Chris was batting for the Amstrad, I think, when he surprisingly won it. I want to say Steve, but I kind of hope it's not right, because Steve gloats about these things. Was it Steve?
No, it was Chris O'Regan, mate.
Was it Chris O'Regan?
Yes, it was Chris O'Regan.
Was it? Because I'm not sure. Did he only do the third one, or did he?
No, Chris did. No. But Chris only won the third one.
Okay.
Yep.
Were you on that one?
Yes, I was. I was. I was defending the C64 and I was cheated of my victory.
Chris, the Amstrad lives strong. Well done, Chris.
Yes, well done.
So do I get that right?
No, you didn't.
Oh.
You said Steve, so still not enough points for you, mate.
Should always
Let's see,
go
this
with
could
your
be a very,
answer,
very short episode.
Thanks, everyone. So, thanks for listening to me over the past 12 months. I'm out of here.
Okay, 6 more questions left. So, which episode was the first to feature your personal favorite RA host, Mads Christensen?
which RA episode generally?
No, which episode was the first to feature me?
Yeah. Oh. So you submitted an audio clip.
That would be cheating as a host.
Okay.
See, otherwise, it would be too hard.
See how I'm thinking these things through? This is how my brain works, you see. Okay, mm-hmm. So as a host, it was with Drisk.
That's true.
Was it the Mega Drive shoot 'em ups?
Ooh, you're good.
Was it?
That's right. Do you remember what it was called?
Mega Drive shoot 'em ups.
Nah, it's just called Mega Shooters, but that's close enough, mate. That was good.
Yeah,
well done. Good one. Well done.
I've still never listened to that, but I really ought to go back and check it out.
You haven't listened to my first episode, mate?
No, because
I'm not sure whether I want to record any more of this.
See, my at the moment, I started listening probably around the time there was, I forget which episode now kind of got my attention, and then I started, and then since then I've gone back and I'm up to about episode 70, but that's still pretty much I think Steve's only just got come in.
Okay.
So yeah, if there's any kind of first 70 episodes, I should be all right, but I've got that blind spot at the moment.
Yeah, we got some host-specific questions now. So now here, let's see how well you actually know your co-hosts.
Okay.
So the first one, you just mentioned Steve. So what was Steve's first computer?
Atari 8-bit.
That's true. You remember what it was called exactly?
Was it the 800XL?
Bang on. An Atari 800. Yeah, yes. Well done. You're good at this. Okay, what is the one genre of games that Matt doesn't suck at?
RPGs. No. We're going to find out next month whether he does actually not suck at
we
this genre, but racing games, but... Bring it, Wilshire. I fancy my chances.
I don't, because I know that he normally beats me at Mario Kart.
I am pretty rubbish at Mario Kart, I have to say, yeah.
I forget if I've told this before on the show, but at one point, I think it was last Christmas, we were playing Mario Kart, Steve, Matt and I, and I was holding my own, but Matt was winning. And then I had to just go off for a couple of minutes, so I gave the controller to my daughter, and then she went on to beat Matt and Steve in three games in a row. So they're not that good.
Did they know that she was playing?
I told them afterwards.
They thought it was you, when?
Yeah, I think they did.
She must be good, because Steve's pretty decent at Mario Kart, isn't he?
Yeah, yes, he's good.
But of course, we can't play Mario Kart with Steve now, because he's gone and sold his Switch.
Of course, he has. He'll buy another one soon.
Silly man. He'll probably buy a Switch Lite, won't he?
Okay, next question, number 13. What does mess collect?
What do you collect?
Yes.
You collect many things.
Actually, there's only one thing that I collect. There's only one thing that I strive to get a complete collection of.
If I had to choose one thing, it would be retro gaming hardware, consoles, computers.
Not really. I'm not going for any kind of completion there. There's one thing that probably know this. There's one thing I do collect that I want a complete collection of. There's
okay, I've got it. I've got it. It's physical copies of our AC Game Club. Is it AC or just all Game Club games? I'm going to say
that's
Game.
That's the AC Game Club.
Okay, so yeah, you are looking for a physical complete copy of our AC Game Club games for your shelf.
Exactly. That's the only thing I collect where I actually will go and spend some money every now and again just to get a fully boxed, nice version of the games that we play.
Are you missing any at the moment?
Nope. It's complete right now.
Cool. Well,
but very soon I will be missing the next one, because I haven't got any of the ones that we were voting for the racing episode.
Yeah, I don't want to give away. Don't want to give away what's won. Because at this point we know. But yeah, they could be quite difficult to get hold of, particularly the. Particularly the old PC games could be quite tricky.
I think actually somewhere I have a Carmageddon. I've probably only got the CD left, but I do have the original of Carmageddon, because my wife had that for some reason back in the day.
Did she?
Yes. Yeah.
Doesn't strike me as the most female friendly of games.
No, that's right. But yeah. Okay. Second to last question here.
Okay.
According to Dean, what is most important in a game?
a deep and intricate story? No, not a deep and intricate story. No, I know. Most definitely, over everything else, Dean rates playability.
Yes, gameplay or playability. That's what he always rants about. And of course, that's what everybody who had a Speccy back in the day says, because they didn't have graphics.
Yeah, he does.
Sorry, Dean, sorry.
Yeah. Graphics are secondary. Any kind of graphics secondary, as long as the gameplay is strong.
Yes, and of course he's right. That is the most important part when you're playing a game.
Yeah.
And final question, who is the plastic Scouser?
definitely Mads.
No, that would be yourself, mate. That would be yourself. That's pretty good, actually.
Well, sometimes I do wonder, actually, whether you're the way you, especially on our chat, you are definitely more Scouse than me. And Steve has coached you well over the years, because you use words like boss and sound way more than I do nowadays.
But, I'm a wannabe Scouser.
Yeah, I hate that term, plastic Scouser. I'm not a plastic Scouser. I'm from inner city Liverpool. I just haven't lived there for a long time. Do you know what? Steve and I should have a Scouse off.
That'd be good.
We can get our... back in the olden days in Liverpool, we had a bit of a reputation for these horrible, terrible tracksuits. And there were tracksuits, and there were we also used to be called sock robbers. So maybe Steve and I can don our most garish tracksuits and have a one-hour challenge to see how many socks we can steal.
Steve, sounds like a brilliant idea, mate.
The challenge is on.
So speaking of Steve, actually, let's just hear a little clip from him then.
Hi, Chris. This is Steve. Just wanting to wish you a happy one-year Retro Asylum anniversary. Cheers for all you've done, mate. All you brought to the show, all your hard work on the Games Club with Mads. It's brilliant because it means me, Dean, and Matt don't have to do any work. So that's much appreciated. Just kidding, mate. But yeah, thanks for all you've done, mate. You've really brought something new to the show, even if you have replaced me as Mads' favourite Scouser. But yeah, all the best.
So that was our very own Steve.
Kind words.
Yes, yes. Everybody loves you, Chris. Everybody loves you. And they are all very jealous that you're getting this treatment, because nobody else has gotten a one-year anniversary episode. But I was adamant that we needed to do this. And
I'm very honored.
That's good. Really, I just wanted to poke fun at you a bit here, so with the quiz and all.
How many points did I get?
Actually, I lost count there, but I think you were up to 11, weren't you?
It was at least 15.
No, it was very, very far from 15, and but it was pretty good. I mean, you get to stay on. You get to stay on, mate.
Yes. So yes. What we now need to do is you guys all need to have belated anniversary episodes. Maybe we could do like a 10-year thing for Dean, where he has to get 95 out of 100, or he's off cover duty or something like that. But
yeah. Actually, the closest I think I've got from ever having something like an anniversary, or even have it mentioned how long I've been on the show, was after I've been on the show for about 2 years, maybe just a tiny bit less than 2 years, a month less or something like that. We were on an episode recording, and Steve said something along the lines of, "Well, you've been here almost a year now, haven't you, Mass?"
And that was it.
That was it.
And you've been on the show for 2 years.
Yes, exactly. That was wonderful.
Do you know
Thanks
what, though?
Lot,
I mean, that's a good sign, though, isn't it? If people don't notice how long you've been around, well, that's a good
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Okay.
How long have you been on the show, then? What is it now? 3 years?
Yeah, you put me on the spot there. I've got no idea. I can't remember, mate.
But episode 150-something.
38. 138 was the first one, yeah.
Retro Asylum time is probably at least 4 years, isn't it, to get through kind of 70 episodes, I reckon.
Yeah, must be. Yeah, so that was a long time as well, but we're not talking about me right now. Let's go into some Game Club stuff. Let's focus a bit less on Chris and his anniversary and just have a look at what have we actually been playing the past year. So I've got it all written down here, Chris. I'm just going to read up all of the titles of the games we've been through, and I was just thinking we could have a short discussion about some of our favorite moments from the past year here in the Game Club.
Yeah.
So, in October, we're going after Chris here. I could just mention that before Chris joined, we played Battletoads, Worms, The Colonel's Bequest. Those were the ones you could remember.
Yeah.
We also played Crash Team Racing, but that never really picked up, did
that's
it?
A shame, nobody... That's a great game.
It's a great racer game. I think we played that at a point in time where people were busy.
Yeah.
We had a great time playing California games. We had some good competitions going there.
Yeah.
And I loved playing through Prince of Persia. We got quite far in that.
Yeah, I think I got about level 7.
I remember you played it on the Apple II. Not the hardware, but the you didn't have the Apple II back then, but on the emulator, right?
I'm playing some of the other versions as well. I was only thinking about that actually earlier this week because doing a bit of research for a possible upcoming guest, which I won't reveal now just in case it doesn't come off. But this particular guest, potential guest, was involved in the Genesis version of Prince of Persia, and it made me think that I really ought to go back because I feel like I did get pretty close to the end during that month. I remember I got somewhere
in the 7th or 8th stage, and that was pretty close to the end as well. So,
gets quite hard, though.
It gets really, really hard after a while, yeah.
I think it takes a lot of practice to be able... I think if it wasn't for the time limit, you probably would be able to do it. You'd need a bit of practice. But it's going to take a lot of practice to be able to do it in an hour, I think. You've got to know your way around those levels.
I think the time limit was not the problem for me. It was on the later levels, like the 7th stage, some of the environmental puzzles, like where timing-based puzzles, where you need to roll under something that's going to crush you from the top and jump on just exactly the right point in time.
Perfect time.
Yes, that was it was very, very brutal at some point, but it was also very rewarding. It was a great game.
Yeah, it's an amazing game. Do you know, I've been thinking a lot recently about influences, older game, how they've influenced modern games. And, you know, you can draw a line, a lot of newer games. You know, if you draw the line, you can touch upon Prince of Persia quite a lot.
Mm.
Really is a big influencer. It's a quality game.
It is. It is indeed. And after Prince of Persia, we played Eurydium on the C64.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then we had our beat-em-up section where we chose Streets of Rage. And then we said that you can play 1, 2, and 3. We had high score challenges for all games and on the Mega Drive, of course.
Yeah.
So, and then came the wonderful point in time that we call the After Chris Game Club. So in October 2018, we started off with 720 Degrees.
Yeah.
So 720 Degrees was when Chris decided that he had to cheat on the very first episode to try and beat me. So of course he knew there was going to be some host competitions here, seeing who gets the best score in the different games we were playing. So in the very first episode, he started cheating.
Using multiple credits. Can I just explain to anybody who's new?
No, I think you've tried to explain that so many times. We don't want to hear it anymore, Chris. So
720 allows you, in my mind, it allows you 3 lives. And then it gets to the point where that is game over and it takes you to the point where you input your score. Now, okay, I will admit, it does give you can choose not to carry on. So it in some ways, I suppose, maybe I'm shooting myself in the foot. I thought it felt more like lives than continues. So I blissfully carried on. You know, I actually thought I'd set a world
record. It's pretty funny,
though,
that everybody except you thought they were continues, seeing as it was a timer counting down asking you to continue. But go on with that story, Chris. Go on with that story.
Well, I thought I'd won a world record during that. I even told my kids that I'd won a world record.
That's true. But let's skip that. Let's just leave that for now. The next game was Devil's Crush, and you actually won that one. You got a better score than me there.
Yeah.
Then we played Devil's Crush. For our new listeners, is a wonderful PC Engine pinball game.
Yeah.
Beautiful 3-layered playing board where you scroll from layer to layer, which was pretty much unheard of back in the day. Normally it would flip between the different stages there, but beautifully made game, and with a great sound side as well.
Yeah. Love
and
that game.
Actually, let's see. I'm just going to continue. I was just thinking maybe I had gone too far, but I have some other stuff planned. There is another quiz coming, Chris.
Oh,
but
God.
Let's just go through the the games here.
We
played Midwinter.
Yeah.
We played Midwinter on the Amiga.
Yeah.
And that was a bit of a surprise and a bit of an eye-opener for me. It was a game that I opened up back in the day and I didn't understand what I was doing and I probably just closed it again. It was a great experience. It was really hard to play because
it was
very, very slow moving, but still a great experience trying to dive into a game like that.
Yeah.
So how did you feel about Midwinter?
Yeah, like pretty much the same. So aware of it over the years. A game that I always thought I would like. I've always liked strategy games. I think I've always been put off with Amiga 3D games. And in some ways, I suppose I still am that kind of early, you know, those early polygons, sharp polygons that the Amiga had. The Amiga had a lot of games like that. And actually, a lot of really well-reviewed games, if you pick up an old Amiga format, a lot of the kind of gold-rated games were these old polygonal 3D games. So, but back in the day, I think I was too young and I always bounced off games like that or just didn't even look at them. It is really difficult in this day and age to play a retro game like Midwinter without a reason to play it, because if you fire up an Amiga emulator, you're not going to play a game like you might load up Midwinter and you might spend 10 or 15 minutes messing around with the menus. And I guarantee if you do that, you will turn it off, because it is dense and it doesn't give you any exposition. It doesn't really tell you what to do. It doesn't tell you where to go. It doesn't give you a tutorial. You're just in there and the game starts. Now, unless you've read the manual or you spend a good 2 or 3 hours trying to figure out what to do, you get nothing out of it. Midwinter, we said it at the time on the episode, Midwinter is a game that you have to invest in quite heavily to get a return. Now, I think I think we got to the point where we decided that actually it probably is a game that hasn't aged well. But the fundamentals of what makes a great game are all there. And actually, a lot of what you see now in the likes of the later Grand Theft Auto games, Midwinter is an open world game. You can go and you can play that game. Yeah, it has an end goal, but how you go and reach that end goal is entirely up to you, and there are many different ways in which you can do it. And I think December, when we played that game, was the time when I really understood what our game club was about. And it was about playing a game, focusing on a game, and trying to really get as much out of it as we possibly can. And that is, for me, that's one half of the game club. The other half is some of the amazing high score challenges that we've had. But we've gone from 720 in arcade ports on the C64 to Devil's Crush, a fantastic pinball game on the PC Engine, to Midwinter. The jump from Devil's Crush to Midwinter is probably as stark as you can get in terms of the difference.
But we do cover all of the different genres here.
But it was great, you know, it was great. And people were playing along with us on Discord who were saying, I would never have played that. It's never my kind of game. And okay, some people say, you know, I don't like it. But people playing along and actually giving it a go, I enjoyed it. I'm glad we played it. I probably wouldn't rush to fire up Midwinter again now, unless we ever tackle its sequel, which who knows, we might do at some point. But I'm glad we played it and I experienced it, definitely, for sure.
Yeah, it was a good experience, and as you said, it's something that you need an excuse to play. So this is some of the things that one of the things that the game club is really good at, getting us to sit down and actually dive into a game that we wouldn't have picked up otherwise.
I remember one evening, before you move on, I remember one evening, I think we were chatting on our chat and I was playing Midwinter at the same time. I think I had to say to you, sorry, I'm going to have to go, I've just fallen out of a tree.
But,
but the fact that in a game that was released in, 1992, you could go and climb a tree and use it as a sniping position in a fully realised 3D environment, I mean, it was pioneering for its time.
It was quite a feat. It was quite a feat.
Yeah.
So it reminds me very much of Hunter as well, back from the old Amiga days as well. But
It's another game that I just didn't ever, I would have looked at and
so
probably just
Hunter, I actually understood and played a lot back in the day. So and its advantage over Midwinter for me was that it's the goal, the end goal is easier to understand, and the movement is much quicker. There's less to faff about with. You can just run around, grab a helicopter or a boat or a bicycle or whatever you find, and go to the next point. So, but I never did finish it. But I had a lot of fun running around in that environment.
Yeah. Did anyone complete Midwinter? Can you remember? Did anyone actually?
No,
go
no,
and
no. The one who
it?
Got the furthest was John V. I'm
he
sure
he was good at it. Yeah, he was good at it.
Yeah, yeah. So the next game we played was The Incredible Machine on the PC.
Oh, yes.
Or actually, we played the, what was it called? The Even More Incredible Machine? That was the one we could get our hands on, wasn't it?
Yes, that
but
was.
But it did include the original levels. 100 levels or 150 levels.
Yeah.
That was good fun as well, having some puzzle games in here. I know, actually, right now, Dean, if you're listening, you're sitting there and saying, oh, come on, get all of those crap games away. We want to play some arcade classics. But these are parts that we need to kind of straddle all genres here in the game club. At least I like that we are able to do that. And we do have quite a big following of people on the Discord channel that do play along with us, no matter what we play. Even something like Final Fantasy, which is a very, very long RPG that we've been playing the past 2 months. There have been a lot of people who finished that game with us. And they did play along with The Incredible Machine as well. So it's good that we caters to all kinds of people, really.
And do you know what the best thing about that month was? When we did those sessions where we played together,
That was good fun.
And we streamed it on YouTube or Twitch, and we actually played along. It was a bit tricky because of the lag was the only thing, but hey, what can you do?
But
it was such good fun actually trying to tackle some of the puzzles together.
Indeed.
And it was good having a deep dive into what Rube Goldberg was all about and Rube Goldberg machines and doing a bit of a deep dive into what the stuff that lay behind Incredible Machine. But yeah, really good fun.
Yeah, indeed. Next month was more action orientated, so that was Supercars 2. We had our big competition there. It was great fun. King Trillo ended up winning.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly, he won one of Sam's books, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I beat Steve.
In the tournament. That's good. So I beat you. So that's not in the tournament, but score wise. So that's the only thing that matters, you know.
But the tournament was the only thing that mattered. Mm-hmm,
But that was good fun. Yeah, really, and we even, as you say, we had a tournament, and it was using Amiga Live. It's brilliant and a great game to play in the game club as well.
And you know, since then, I haven't looked at level crossings in the same way.
No, of course not.
So every time I drive up to a level crossing now, I imagine some other people driving cars past me and plowing into the train.
Hopefully it hasn't happened too often.
It hasn't happened. And I also resist the temptation to nudge people onto the tracks when I'm driving
good idea.
Up.
So let's get through this list. March 2019 was Popeye, a great arcade classic. Another game that was really interesting for a deep dive. I mean, initially when we started it, I didn't know that it had the depth that it ended up having, actually. And that was an eye-opener for me that some of these old arcade games really do have a lot of depth to them. So that was a great experience as well. And I know you got really good at it as well.
Yeah, it's a great arcade game. And the scores that our listeners, because do you remember that the Tenpence Arcade podcast were playing Popeye exactly after we finished? And it was really interesting to hear, compare our listeners' scores that in our high school table with theirs. And actually, although their period for playing games is shorter than ours, but we in our game club, the scores were much higher than theirs. And these are the guys who play arcade games pretty much for a living. So
I'm not sure how they do with this discussion around the game, because one thing that is special in our little forum, for example, now we've been playing Ghosts and Goblins. When I figure out how to get a high score, the first thing I do isn't sit on the secret and say, hey, I'm going to win. It's go to Discord and say, hey, guys, I found out if you do this and this and this, you'll get a higher score. And then we share our little secrets there. And in the end, we end up getting some really good players out of it.
Yeah, and that Popeye is a game where there are many, many strategies, and there is a way, because, as we said on the episode, nothing's random. So
there is
a way to do the levels where you can maximise each score, and there was a constant month of people evolving their strategies and their play styles on each level to maximise the score. We were all sharing the tips, and I think I beat you on that one. Did I beat you on that one?
I actually forget. I got quite a good score, so I'd be surprised if you beat me.
But,
I don't know, mate. I don't know. The next game was handheld gaming, our first handheld game, Donkey Kong on the Game Boy. And for new listeners, isn't just a port of the arcade game. It's a beautiful puzzle game. And we had a lot of listeners who played it all the way through and picked up the real cartridge for the Game Boy and played it that way. So that was, again, a beautiful, beautiful game to play. We haven't played a single stinker in the past year, have we?
No, we've definitely not played the stinker. I think the one which I struggled with the most was definitely Midwinter. But for me,
it must have been Command and Conquer. But yes. Still, I wouldn't say I wasted my time with Command and Conquer. I liked it anyway. But yeah.
No, we've not played a bad game, not at all.
No, happy.
And Donkey Kong, I absolutely love that game. Why for years I'd overlooked it as a simple arcade port, like I imagine many people have.
Yes.
But not only did it open my eyes to that kind of game, but also it kind of rekindled a love for the original Game Boy as well. There's so many titles now which are on my to play list, including, I know Link's Awakening is near the top of your to play list, and it's most definitely
on. Link's Awakening, I'm looking at my Game Boy right now, my Game Boy Color, and Link's Awakening is inserted there. And as soon as I'm done with Final Fantasy, that's the next game I'm playing.
Ah, excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
My daughter is playing through it on the Switch at the moment. She's loving it, so I'm looking forward to seeing the original.
Have you seen any of it on the Switch? Does it look good?
Yes, it does. It's so cute. The art style is fantastic.
Music is absolutely beautiful.
Yes, it's really, really well done.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So where do we go next?
Next game would be Doranpachi, back to the arcade.
Doranpachi.
I knew I was going to love that, and man, did I love that. That was a really, really tough bullet hill shooter, and it was so much fun trying to learn those patterns and learn how to get further. It was one of those games when you pick it up and start playing it, you die immediately because you don't know what you're doing. And after a while, you get to learn all those patterns, and the stuff that seemed impossible at the time is actually quite possible. So you and me both, we got quite far in that game.
Yeah, we did. Yet you do die very quickly as soon as you start. But it almost feels with that, with every single playthrough, you learn something new about the game.
Yeah.
Or you get a little bit further, or you figure out a new strategy, or you learn a way to increase the way you can score points. And you're constantly learning, and that's what it's all about. And we were lucky that month, we were joined on Discord by, what's his name, the guy who got the really high score.
Pearl.
What's his name?
Pearl.
That was it. Yeah, the guy who is just on a different level compared to the rest of us.
But ahead of us.
He's a bit of a schmuck.
He could
expert.
Loop the game, or at least get to the first loop. So, yeah.
Yeah.
None of us did that. I think you and I got to the last level, or second to last level, at least.
I think you got one level ahead of me.
Okay.
But I improved loads in the last few days. But, you know, that is the one game, actually, which I felt a little bit addicted to.
Of all
the games we've played, that is one game where I had so many late night play sessions where I'm thinking, I just need to go to bed. And it's 11 o'clock and it's going to take me an hour before my heart rate slows down after stopping playing this. I need to just turn it off, but I can't because I've got to have one more game. And actually,
but we did have quite a fun high score challenge in that one. You and I, we switched positions a lot of times.
Yeah. And it was only right at the end. I think you got a terrific score close to the end. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm beat. Because in the time left, I can't beat that. But what a month. That was great. And that was Steve joined us for that podcast as well, wasn't it? Which was cool. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, that was good fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the next game was Dark Forces, back to the PC and over to a first-person shooter. So pretty much a first-person shooter, but a first-person shooter with a grand story to tell.
Yeah.
So again, that was a walk down memory lane because I played that back in the day and finished it back in the day as well. And it was so good fun revisiting it and finding out that it actually still holds up to this day. It's still a beauty of a game.
Yeah.
So as an old PC gamer, that was great fun. And we had a lot of people playing along there as well.
Yeah, two things come to mind on that one. You with the lift puzzle.
Oh my God.
You blazed ahead, hadn't you, right at the start? And you got the lift puzzle before everybody else, and you saved everybody probably hours of agony or resisted the temptation to look at YouTube because you'd solved it or you'd remembered how to do it. And then John V, I think on the day, was it the day before we were due to record, John V was desperate. John V is so committed because he really does try to finish every game that we play before we record. And yeah, he was struggling with the last level of Dark Forces. I just happened to catch Discord on my phone and he posted this message about, I'm really stuck on this last level. And I think I was really stuck on the last level. And I played it about 6 or 7 times to get through to the end. I immediately knew exactly where he needed to go. So he then went through and finished it. But when we will do a sequels theme, I think, at some point. I'd love to do this, where we have a long list and then a short list of sequels to games that we've already played. Maybe it's something we could do for the 2 year, I don't know, at some point. But I've got Dark Forces 2 because it was on, I think it was on Good Old Games, was selling it for something ridiculous like £1.20, which is just obscene. So I picked it up, had a quick look while we were playing Dark Forces, and just that extra bit of graphical fidelity and the slightly bigger levels, and I just thought, oh wow, this would be absolutely amazing. Yeah, I've had to resist.
I absolutely loved Jedi Knight, so that's Dark Forces 2 back in the day. But looking at it now, I'd still like to play it again, no worries, but I'm not going to be as impressed as I was with Dark Forces, because the storytelling isn't really on par, if I recall correctly, but the other stuff is there and it's really good.
And you see, there,
if you want to pick up the best of the series, then go 2 games further. I think the Jedi Knight series continued for 3 or 4 games. When you start to get into the games where you get the lightsabers, and the lightsaber controls are actually good, because in the first game where you get the lightsabers, they're not that good. But when you start to feel like a powerful Jedi a bit later on in the series, I think it's just Jedi Knight 2 probably.
Yeah, or maybe it's Mysteries of the Sith. They're remastering that game for modern consoles as well, that one and the...
Really?
Jedi Knight 1 as well, it's been announced, yeah.
Okay, I think Jedi Knight 2, was that the one that had the expansion pack that's called Mysteries of the Sith? Yeah, that game is a beauty. I'd like to revisit that at some point.
They're both, I mean, for anyone who doesn't have those games, they are both on Good Old Games for literally nothing, for what you get, I think, with expansions. Yeah. Less than I think last time I looked, they were less than a fiver. I mean, it's just...
I'm pretty sure when we played Dark Forces, both you and I, we bought a bundle of them.
Yeah, we did.
For no money at all.
Yeah, and if you pick these up on sale, I think I bought the whole series for something like $6.99. It's just, which is, the price that you can pick up some of these older games for now, if you're not fussed about having the physical copies, they are so cheap.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So the next game would be Command & Conquer. So now we're into real-time strategy. Still on the PC, but a real-time strategy game. How many different genres have we had? Have we even had 2 games in the same genre? I don't think we have. Let's just go from the top. We have a sports game, a pinball game. An open-world strategy game. A puzzle game, a racing game, an arcade platformer. A puzzle game the handheld puzzle game. Yeah, that's a puzzle platformer. So still not the same.
Yeah, puzzle platforming. Yeah.
A shooter, a first-person shooter, and now a real-time strategy game.
Yeah.
So yeah, we do cover a lot of ground here, but Command & Conquer was good fun to revisit, but not for me a game that aged particularly well, though.
Yeah. That was the last one before this episode. It feels like ages ago we did that episode.
Yeah, it does. But it does. Even though maybe we didn't love Command & Conquer again as much as we did back in the day, it was good fun because this had the added bonus of being playable online.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of matches with listeners online, and that was good fun.
Yeah.
And even though I beat you, Chris.
You did. I was terrible online. I think I needed to have watched some YouTube videos before I played because I was wiped out. Who was the guy who was really good who the first time we played it and he got... Was it one of the guys who just loaded up with Humvees, and I think he ended up with about 20 of these little ants scurrying around the map, destroying everything. But, you know, I think we discussed that at some length as to why we don't think it maybe holds up as well. Although I still managed to sink kind of good 40 hours into that game during that month. On a month-by-month basis, probably the most time I've spent playing a Game Club game until Final Fantasy.
Yeah. What made me dislike it most was probably the bugs, because there were so many bugs prevented me from actually getting into the game and enjoying it. If no matter whether I tried to play it on a modern PC or on a PC that was from that time, and nothing actually really wanted to work for me. So that was a bit of a shame, but still it was a good experience, and it was nice to get back to go back to Command & Conquer and see where that more action oriented RTS genre started. So definitely it split into two. Back then we had the Command & Conquer path, and we have the World of War, the Warcraft path, right?
Yeah, you know, since we played that, I've had the soundtrack on a lot in the car. And, yeah,
it's good.
And I caught my son, my 9-year-old son, singing "I'm a Mechanical Man."
Wonderful, wonderful, mate.
He was walking around the house saying, "I am a mechanical man."
Mm-hmm.
I think I've made it.
That's good. So that's like me when I'm happy when my kids are humming Iron Maiden or Judas Priest or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The next game, of course, would be Final Fantasy VII, and that's the episode you thought we were going to record today, but that will be the next episode. So that will be episode 210.
So we're going to start that now, then?
No, we're not going to start that now, mate. We're not done yet. There's so much more we need to do.
I've got to talk about Final Fantasy. I was all coiled up like a spring.
Yeah, that's why I've really been looking. I mean, you and I, we were planning this, talking about your big master plan for, 15, 20 minutes? And I didn't know what to do with myself because I knew we were not going to be recording it anyway. But you didn't suspect anything, did you?
I had absolutely no idea, as I'm sure everybody could tell from my reaction to this. To this
well,
episode.
That's good, mate. I do have some more surprises up my sleeve. So there's another quiz. And this is a quiz I'd like our listeners to have a chance at being a part of as well. So it's a music quiz, mate. I've got some music, and it's to make it easy, it's music from the games we played.
Okay, that's
and
relief.
You just have to guess which game it is, of course. And I'd like you, because I know you're so good, Chris, so you'd have the answer in half a second. So just wait 5 seconds every time so that our listeners just have a chance of figuring out what it is as well, right? So guys listening, there are 10 pieces of music, not 11, but 10 pieces of music here. And each are from a game that we played in the game club. And now you can count along yourself and see how many you get. So knowing the games beforehand should make it a bit easier, of course. But that's good for me because normally I'm not so good at these music quizzes.
Yeah, me neither. Quizzes.
Yeah. So while I find the music, could you just sing, hum us a tune or something like that, Chris?
I'm not going to hum us a tune. I've already sung once on this episode, and that is way more than what anybody wants to listen to.
Okay, let's see. I just need to find a folder here on my Dropbox.
So did you choose these from the Game Club games, or have the other guys had any input? Is this all your work?
This is all my work. So actually, I'm just going to go on random here. Let's see. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, and just give us an answer after about...
I'll let it go for a bit.
5 seconds, right? Okay. Great guitar riffs on that one. So what was that?
That was Dodonpachi.
That was Dodonpachi, indeed. Well done, mate. 1 point for you already.
Yes.
Let's take the next one. Let's go with this one. Ready, mate?
Okay, I'm ready.
Stop it there. What was that?
So that was the dulcet tones of the late, great Mr. Ben Daglish. That was 720.
That was 720. You're doing good. I think you're going to get all of these, but this is a game for the listeners as well.
I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, me too.
So it's like a real trip down memory lane, this. This is great.
Yeah, yeah. This one will be very, very easy. You ready?
Go on.
You got it already, right? So what was that?
The Fantastic Supercars 2.
Yes, yes. So you get that at the initial two bars, right?
Yeah, nothing more than that initial beat.
Yeah, yeah. Great, great tune as well. Let's go with this one. And the game,
unmistakably Dark Forces.
Yeah, just consider that. That's just MIDI sound.
It's must incredible,
be, right? From an old PC game. Yeah. Such depth. It's beautiful, beautiful.
Did you ever listen to the orchestrated remaster link I sent round on Discord on YouTube?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, such good, so good.
Indeed. Okay, you're doing really good. I'm pretty sure you're going to get all of these because I haven't chosen the hardest ones. I want it
you're
to be
kind.
Recognizable. Let's go with this one. If I let that continue, he would be singing,
I am a mechanical man.
Yes.
Brilliant. Command and Conquer.
Yes, yes.
Fabulous.
Yes. Okay, next one would be this one. Here we go. Quite as memorable, but I'm sure you know what game that was from as well.
The Incredible Machine.
Yes, that's actually there were quite a few different songs for the different levels on the Incredible Machine.
It's the biggest thing that surprised me about going back to that game was the quality of the soundtrack for it. Completely, the music is irrelevant in that game other than
yes.
serving as background noise, but it is
yep.
so good, so catchy. Mm. Those tunes.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go for classic tune here. There we go. We actually got some gameplay sounds in here as well, so
yeah.
It's pretty easy to pick up. Oh, listen to that music. And that was
hours and hours spent listening to that track. That was Devil's Crush.
Devil's Crush, indeed.
Hours spent, literally hours spent listening to that track. And you know what? It never gets old.
I was just about to say, I actually played that game so much that, and it annoyed me so much because of the kind of random scoring mechanisms that in the end,
yeah.
just hearing that would make my blood boil.
Yeah, not in a good way.
Not in a good way. Next one. Here we go. And that wine actually just woke up my dog, so he's walking around here. What was that?
That was Donkey Kong.
That was Donkey Kong on the Game Boy.
How did they get the Game Boy to produce music like that?
It's no idea, mate. No idea. For the Game Boy, wonderful. It's actually really good. This way of playing it doesn't really do it justice. It does sound best on the actual device.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's made for that. That little whine that was in there, wasn't that, I guess the sound chip or the speakers or something like that acts in a different way on the real device. So it didn't grate on you that much. Okay, lovely track indeed. Actually, there were a lot of good tracks in that as well. Let's go with this one. That was a short one.
Unmistakably Popeye.
Yes, you had the title theme there as well. It's Popeye the Sailor Man. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. And that leaves me with just one game. So you probably know what this is before I started. That was hard to choose from because the soundtrack for this game is just unbelievable.
I'm trying to eliminate them.
So let me just, if you can tell me which song it is, maybe, because you know what game this is. This is a sound I've heard a lot the past 2 months.
Yes, it's Final Fantasy VII. Is it just the general battle music?
Yes, I wanted to choose the music that at the same time I really enjoy listening to, and and also I hate it because as we'll get into at some point, the random battles aren't the best part of Final Fantasy VII.
No.
The boss battle music, though, man, that's good.
And my favourite track is the Genova battle music, the kind of tinkly guitar track.
So have you heard the version that Smooth McGroove has made of the Genova track?
No.
Ooh, you have to, when we're done recording here, go to YouTube, find Smooth McGroove and find his, he's got maybe 10 different Final Fantasy songs that he made a cappella, just himself. It's beautifully done. Beautifully done.
Oh, nice. Oh, I will definitely. I love that Genova battle music. And it tells you something that I kind of straight away I thought, yeah, that's the battle music. And then I'm thinking, is it the battle music? But given I've probably spent 20 hours listening to that track over the past 2 months, it says something that it doesn't immediately kind of hammer into my brain as a kind of some kind of sledgehammer saying, oh, no, not this. we will talk about the soundtrack in due course, but it is incredible.
It is indeed, mate. As is the rest of the game. But this was the little music quiz. I hope our listeners have enjoyed playing along. If you have been, if you've joined in on the gaming club the past year, as many of you have, I guess you got a 10 out of 10. But let us hear on Discord once you've listened to this how many points you got.
Yeah, definitely. It's good fun, these music quizzes, aren't they? I think, I'm not too sure if it was a general game of music quiz, how well I would have done, but it's really nice how you can, just 30-second clips of tracks from the games that we've played instantly take you back to those months.
Yes, indeed. I knew that this quiz was going to be far too easy for you, but I'm hoping that the listeners will enjoy it because a lot of them probably haven't been playing along on the Games Club games for the past year. So maybe it has been a challenge for them trying to guess all of these games.
Yeah, it's a nice little trip down memory lane over the last 12 months there.
Yeah, indeed it was. And actually, when we are playing clips, let's just hear from Matt as well because he has got some nice words to say about you as well, Chris. So here we go.
Here at Retro Asylum, we strive for the best presenters, the best hosts. And 1 year ago, such a presenter may have joined us. Unfortunately, we ended up with Chris. He was our second choice, but the other first choice wasn't available, so we had to make the numbers up in some way. Chris, only joking, mate. Been great having you on for the last year. Here's to many more years, and I hope you enjoy your time with us. You're blossoming into a lovely young lad. Cheers, Chris.
Thanks, Dad.
So, some nice words for you here.
It's so kind of them to do it. Yeah, they don't need to say those nice things. I'll pay them the rest of the bribe later.
Well done, well done. No, it's been great having you on board, and I wanted to do this little anniversary episode both for you and for the Game Club as such, to also have a chance to thank all of the listeners who've actually been with us. A lot of our listeners on Discord have been with us for this whole year, and some of many of them even before that, yeah. From the A before Chris, that would be the BC Game Club, of course, but many of them have been with us for a long time, and they are always ready to discuss the games and jump into genres they haven't tried before. And sometimes they slide off them because, oh, this wasn't something for me. But often we add in, if it's too long in the tooth, we add in a small competition for those guys who just like to play an arcade game as well. So it's been great. What I'm trying to say is just thank you guys. Thanks to all of our listeners who've joined us on Discord and played the games with us and discussed them and beat me in the high score challenges. It's been really good fun.
Yeah, I just absolutely echo that. I wanted to join this wonderful RA crew because I'm obviously a huge fan of gaming, retro, modern gaming, all gaming, passionate about it. It's my hobby. I was also, and still am, a massive fan of video gaming podcasts, and I thought, well, let's combine the two things. But also because I was just wanted some direction in my gaming. We've spoken many times now about just how having some kind of focus just helps you appreciate some of these older machines that we've got. I didn't expect that it would cost me so much money, because obviously every time we play a new game from a new system, I've got this horrible compulsion, which means I have to then go out and try and buy one. So
yes.
I have all kinds of bits of plastic lying around, some of which get used more than others. But hey, that is the way it goes. But it's brilliant. I mean, having a community like ours, which it's grown month on month. We've got new people joining Discord all the time, getting involved in the chat. Some don't. Some just sit back and watch, and that's absolutely fine too. But it's that sense, you mentioned it earlier, Mads, when we're playing games and we're having the competitions. But really what we're doing is we're just collectively just trying to figure out a little bit more about the games.
Yeah.
Where Final Fantasy was brilliant as well, because having this outlet where you're playing along and you're not playing it on your own, you're playing it with a couple of dozen other people, you know, you're chatting about, yeah, have you got to Cosmo Canyon yet? What did you think about that? Oh, what about the music there? You know, what did you think of this? I'm stuck on this, but boss, what, have you got any tips? It's just a way. It's a bit like what it was like back in the day being in the playground when you'd walk in and you'd say, oh, I'm stuck on Mario 3 World 4-1. Can anyone else help me? We don't.
Exactly.
We've all got communities. Now, what we do is a pretty niche hobby. We probably don't have dozens of people in work who do what we do. So it is fairly niche. And getting a community of like-minded people together like we have, sticking a game club around it and giving people an excuse to deep dive into these games has just been... I knew I'd enjoy this. That's why I wanted to do it. I knew I would really enjoy being a part of this, but I think what I didn't realise is just how much I would enjoy it. I've met some amazing people. I've met some of our listeners. Some of them I already knew. But getting to know you, Mads, the other guys, and just generally being a part of what we're doing, being a part of the incredible episode 200 as well, was such a privilege that... It's gone so quickly, it's hard to believe that we've been doing it for a year, you know, it feels like 5 minutes. But I just want to carry on. Now, I want to start, I've set my Amiga up this morning, let's edit this out because otherwise I'm going to give away the result of the poll. So
it's okay, you just don't mention why you set it up just yet.
But, you know, just setting up and feeling that rush of excitement because... It's getting to the end of the month and we got a new month coming up in October. It's like, right,
yep.
I'm going to be playing a new game now. And it feels really exciting and I've got a month ahead of me and the kind of last month's gone. I just want to carry on. I just hope we can carry on, go from strength to strength. Hopefully more people will come and get involved. But we've got a cracking community. We had 21 high scores on Ghosts and Goblins. That was a game that wasn't really the focus. So... People
yeah.
seem to be
yeah,
enjoying...
I was just about to say, we, of course, we always welcome new listeners, but we've got a really good group already. So I just wish for all of those guys to keep on wanting to play with us. That would be
Definitely.
Wonderful. Having good
yeah.
fun.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what makes it fun. What we do here is kind of our outlets and to download, but once we've finished playing the game for a month. But really, the fun is the interaction and the laugh that we have over the month. Indeed, is why we do it. So thank you, everyone, for listening over the last 12 months, for putting up with me, and, of course, for putting up with Mads. You've had to put up with him for a lot longer than you've put up with me. So from strength to strength we go. Onwards.
Onwards and upwards, mate. So actually, I've saved the biggest surprise till last. So I'm just going to find that. I'm going to ask you to go and open your our chat client here, the one we usually use on RA.
Yeah.
And I'm going to send you something. Just give me a second. I'll find it here. So what you might, I think Dean alluded to something about the cover.
Oh, yeah,
recently,
he did.
Didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see if I can. So we've, with Dean's help and with the help of one of our listeners as well, I've had a very special cover created for you, or for this episode. So here you go, Chris. Feast your eyes on this. Of course, listeners, you will have seen this cover already because you're listening to the episode, but Chris hasn't. So this is all a surprise for him. So I'm a bit excited to see what he says. So have a look, mate.
Okay, I'm looking. Oh, wow. Look at that. Oh, that is amazing. Did Scott Pearson do this? Was this one of
Scopies? Yes, he did. Scopies, yeah.
That is incredible. Isn't he such a talented bloke, isn't he?
He is so good. That's beautifully done. Beautifully done.
Oh, that is amazing. Scopy, if you're listening to this, and hopefully you are, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, mate.
You've actually made us considerably more handsome than I think we are, but he's done a good job of tarting my features up, that's for sure. That is amazing. Yo, that I'm gonna see if I can get that framed and put up somewhere, because it's
yes, as am I, mate. I'm totally knocked off my feet of how well he's done this. It's
look,
brilliant.
Have you seen the Final Fantasy screen in the background?
So have a look later on. Just try to enhance this and go. I have a larger version you can have a look at. All of the games we've been playing in the game club this past year, they are there somewhere.
Oh, wow.
All of them. So I can see 720, The Incredible Machine, Command & Conquer, and Dark Forces standing in big boxes on the shelf there. We've got posters with Popeye, Supercars 2, more Incredible Machine, Donkey Kong, 720 as well. We've got Final Fantasy 7 running on the old CRT over there.
It's amazing.
There is a Game Boy cartridge with Donkey Kong and Lion next to the Game Boy. And if you look on top, yeah, actually, you maybe need to zoom a bit. I see it easily because I know it's there. If you look on top of the PC Engine, there is an Axad pinball or Devil's Crash lying there.
Yeah.
So it's beautifully done. Thanks a lot, Scopy. This was great. Great. And I've really been looking forward to revealing for Chris.
Yeah, when Dean circulated that little clip of it and said that's all you're getting, I was thinking to myself, if he's done a cover which does not feature Final Fantasy VII, I'm gonna get grumpy. But now, obviously, because Dean's been teasing us, hasn't he, by saying he's gonna do a cover of Ghosts and Goblins, and
yes,
I think
yes.
before I bit my tongue, but you thankfully got in there and said nope, it has to be Final Fantasy. But now all is revealed. Makes sense. Absolutely amazing. Wow.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I'm going to print it myself. As I said, I have a larger version you can have as well to get it framed and everything. That definitely needs to be on my wall somewhere.
Amazing. Mads, thank you so much for putting all of this together. I literally had no idea. I woke up pretty excited to be recording about Final Fantasy VII. I had no idea this is what we were going to be doing. Thank you for
joining me here on the Game Club. It's been great having
pleasure.
You the past year. The Game Club episodes have quickly become my favorites on the show, my favorites to do. I love recording stuff with all of the other hosts as well, of course, but just diving into one game, focusing, it's almost mindfulness for me. I mean, getting home after a long day's work, having to fix all kinds of stuff at work and at home, and, you know, what have we when we are grown-ups, just sitting down once a night, with half an hour, maybe an hour set aside to dive into one game and discussing it with you. It's been beautiful, mate.
Yeah, completely likewise. I feel like you know don't want to get people will be getting the hankies at the ready, but yeah, I've made a group of friends here, you know, over the past 12 months, and it does literally feel like when we do these episodes that we just, and this is what Retro Asylum's always been about, you know, it feels like we are two guys normally sitting with a cup of tea rather than a glass of wine, but we've had our moments.
Yes.
You know, but some of the longer running episodes have turned into alcohol.
But yep.
It feels like we're just two mates sitting here chatting about games that we used to love back in the day, and we're re-experiencing, and that is, you know, that has been a pretty special thing. So yeah, onwards to the next 12 months, and I need to get this posted up on my wall.
Yeah indeed.
Thank you, Mads. Thank you so much. Really touched. Thank you.
So let's finish this off as we do with a normal episode. I do have some shout-outs, some stuff I'd like us to shout out here in our community. So now that we're not following your plan right now, these are going to be my shout-outs. And if you have something you'd like to add that you don't want to add in the next episode, of course, feel free to do that. But my shout-outs are as follows. So first and foremost, Stew FM. On our Discord channel. I don't know if you noticed this, but he has opened an Etsy shop. It's called Craft Retro. So if you're used to using Etsy, just go into etsy.com/UK and then find Craft Retro. Or you could probably search for his handle as well, which is StewFM or StuffM, because it's written in one word.
Yeah.
And he does these beautiful, like square picture frames with the cassettes. Our cassette inlays within them, so there is there's the cassette and the inlay next to each other, or if it's a big sized cassette inlay, it's just that instead. So all of these old games we have for our Spectrums or C64s or the Amstrad CPC, they are deteriorating at a quick pace, so many of them don't work anymore. So Stu thought, well, why don't we make art out of that anyway instead? So you can have these beautifully framed cassette games hanging on your wall. So go there, go to his store, look around. He's got plenty on for sale right now. Actually, I'm just going to click over there. So right now he's got stuff like Operation Wolf, Fantasy World, Dizzy, Manic Miner, Ghosts and Goblins as well, Gauntlet, Treasure Island, Dizzy, Hungry Horrors, and they present themselves so well in these frames. I have to admit, I've already ordered some for myself. I am getting a Bubble for the C64 because that was the game I played the most with my brother. So I'm still a bit undecided whether I want to have it hanging on my own wall or whether it will be a present for my brother, because he'd love that as well. I have so many happy memories playing that game with him back in the day. So I'm probably going to be buying a few more from Stu. It's a beautiful idea. It's simple, of course, but somebody has to do it and do it first to get the idea.
Yeah.
And so go check out his Etsy store.
It's, yeah, they're really nice. Really nice.
Yeah, and he's selling really cheap, actually. I think right now I can only see the Danish prices, actually. So maybe if you go there, you can see them, the ones in pounds instead. But I'm guessing this would be about £12 for one of the games, framed and everything. So I think that's fairly cheap for something as cool as this.
Yeah, definitely.
So go check out his Etsy store. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another shout out for me, I'm going back to my notes here, is another Discord user, Steelmanoff. He's called Steelmanoff. Yeah. He's got he's got a new YouTube channel he started up, and this should be something that a lot of UK retro heads should be interested in, because he's, as far as I understand it right now, he's going to be ripping some old VHS tapes with commercials on them and putting them on his YouTube channel, so you can see all of those vintage commercials for, what have we, cigarettes, I guess you'd be making commercials for back then, and beer and all kinds of stuff, funky toys and all that you remember from your childhood. So if you want to get a kick of nostalgia from the old TV commercials, go check out his YouTube channel as well. So it's Steelmanoff, and his channel, if I can just, I'm gonna have to click a bit more here, I'm sorry. His channel is called Archive Oddball, if you want to search for it.
There was a lovely moment earlier in the week when he gave us the link to all these, there was a lot of the Discord members all started circulating these YouTube links to all of these old 1980s and 1990s adverts, and I was lying in bed kind of trying to motivate myself to get up and get into the shower and just flicking through all of these great adverts and thinking, wow, what a way to start the day, such a nostalgia trip. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, so I hope he's going to find a lot of success with his new YouTube channel there. He is one of the guys who's an active supporter of our CGA project as well, with the ripping old game footage, of course. So he knows what he's doing with the video editing there.
Yeah.
And another thing I'd like to shout out right now is the Kickstarter for the Jeff Minter or Llamasoft documentary, Heart of Neon. So I don't know if I know you've noticed this, but there is a Kickstarter right now for a documentary about Llamasoft, and it's not going too well, I'm sad to say. It's only like a fourth through to its goal right now, and it's been going for 2 weeks or something of that ilk. And I backed it personally, and I'd really like to see this go all the way through, because Jeff is definitely an interesting character to. So I'd really love to hear his story. And this will be Llamasoft's entire story from, 35, 36 years ago and up until now. So I'd love to see that documentary made, Heart of Neon. So if you're interested in Jeff Minter and the Llamasoft games, go check out Heart of Neon on Kickstarter.
Yeah, needs a bit of love for that. Doesn't
yes,
it? The
it
whole
does.
Thing
it
needs
does.
A bit of love. It's probably a sign of the times that we're in some ways nowadays are a bit spoiled by the sheer amount of retro content that we have, both amateur produced like this one and professionally produced. That imagine 10 years ago that if something like this would have been announced, how much clamour there would have been. But we now have so much. But I agree. I mean, I must say I probably wasn't an early adopter on the Kickstarter, but I have now backed it. And I feel like this does need a bit of an effort. So if anyone's got any interest in Jeff Minter or just generally the 1980s video gaming scene, I think I think there was one point when it was pretty expensive, but then they released a new tier onto the Kickstarter.
Yeah, they if you ask me, they made a mistake when they started the Kickstarter, because the lowest tier where you actually got the movie was quite expensive. I had second thoughts before I backed it, but I needed to see this documentary come through, so I did it. But they started out the first week, it was far too expensive, so a lot of the people who saw it initially have probably been turned off by the high price point. But that is fixed now, listeners. So if you're listening and you've been there before and you think, that's too steep a price for me, there is a much cheaper option now to just get the digital download of the movie. So go check it out again.
Yeah, definitely.
And the final thing I'd like to shout out on this episode is that my good friend Carl, or Trantronator as he's called on our Discord channel, he just joined up. He's the guy who's doing the Video Game Newsroom Time Machine, the longest title in the world, Carl. Video Game Newsroom Time Machine podcast. It's a beautiful podcast. I really enjoy listening to it, and I do support them on Patreon as well. He's just released his Al Love.
I've seen that.
Yeah, Allo interview.
Yep.
I haven't listened to it myself because I've been so damn busy, but I'm really looking forward to it because he's a character I'd love to learn some more about. Of course, he's the guy behind the old classic Leisure Suit Larry games and a lot of other stuff that he did for Shara back in the day. And knowing Carl, I'm thinking he's going to have been starting right from the beginning of Al's career, so we'll be going even further back than the first Leisure Suit Larry games. Carl is very, very history interested, so I'm sure he's got a lot of good details out of Al in this interview. So go check out that interview and check out the Video Game Newsroom Time Machine podcast as such.
Yeah, definitely. Al Lowe's a proper character as well. There's a pretty colourful interview with him in Sam Dyer's Adventure Games book. And of course, he wrote your favorite game and mine, Soft Porn Adventure.
The one with the wonderful Roberta Williams naked on the front page. Yes,
very quickly become one of my favorite photographs.
Mm-hmm. I was actually wondering whether I should incorporate or ask Scopey to incorporate that somewhere in the, in the artwork, but I opted not to do that.
Probably for the best.
Okay, mate, so I'd like to shout out the other hosts and thank you for your clips, Dean, Steve, and Matt. Thank you for supporting me. They helped me with some of the questions as well about the Retro Asylum, because as it turns out, my memory is really, really shoddy. So it was good that I had the Steve to lean on, for example, when getting those questions written down and the answers as well. So thanks, guys, and I look forward to recording with you again.
Good stuff. So shout outs for me. Good work on shouting out the Discord members, Mads. That was a good effort, because there is... some of them are doing some really good stuff. There was one more I just wanted to shout out. Deadlock on our Discord group has for a while now been collecting the PDF of all of the covers of all of the RA episodes right through from episode one. And he's put them all together in one complete PDF, which you can download. Obviously, you can do what you want with them. But it's nice just to have this complete PDF just to flick through. Actually, it's quite cool seeing how Dean's style has evolved over the years. But there's just, if nothing else, it's just a really handy guide to all of the episodes that we've produced. And he's also done it for the Tenpence Arcade podcast as well. So you can very quickly flick through to see what all of their episodes are. And he just does it because he's a fan and he's a top bloke and he wants to do it. So thank you, Martin. Thanks, Deadlock, for doing that.
And yeah, indeed, thanks.
Really, that's it. There was just one other... I mean, you know, I like to shout out all the other content providers, Carl's podcast, all of the other guys who put stuff out there. There was one particular podcast I listened to back in August. Kane and Rince do a Sound of Play podcast, which is tying in with the music that we've just listened to. They feature video game music from all the video games over the years, both retro and current. But they had Grant Kirkhope on, which was pretty cool listening to Grant Kirkhope talking about some of his back catalogue, and he kind of selected some tracks, some of his favourite tracks from his own library and other composers. So I would urge people to go, and if you're interested in Grant Kirkhope and the stuff that he did at Rare, then go and have a listen to that, because there's some cracking music in there. So other than that, just the guys, thank you so much for contributing to this and the kind words, and yourself, Mads, for putting all of this together and taking me completely by surprise.
My pleasure, mate. There are a few others I'd like to thank. I'd like to thank Richard May, Jim Orbitz IT, Duncan Bell, and Edward Fitzpatrick, John Veal, Jeremy Shaw, Gary Heather, Thomas Scuffum, Nick Lees, Andy Marsh, Lee Clark, Martin Stevenson, Patrick Fürst, Matt Sullivan, Magnus Esbjerner, Stephen Stoddard, Darren Coles, Andrew Gilmore, Stelius, Aaron Morpin, John Shepherd, Blake Brett, Chris Rowe, Lee Clark, Paul Ashton, Rick Jackson, and Lauren De Bruyn, probably?
Nice.
And Mark Bulon.
those are
all of our... Yeah, it doesn't. That's so beautiful. So those are all of our Patreon sponsors. Thanks a lot, guys. Thank you for keeping the lights on here.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy the shows that we put on. So that was it, mate. I hope you enjoyed being on this episode as well, and I really enjoyed surprising you. I've been the past couple of days. I've been like, just ask my kids. I've been like a small kid leading up to Christmas. I haven't really been able to control myself, especially when Dean has communicated with Scopey about all of this, and when he sent over the final cover, I was over the moon. So,
you'd seen that. Plenty of time before this, obviously.
But, yes, I saw that. I'm pretty sure it must have been in the beginning of the week. So, and that's good, because I've had a horrible bloody week. So it's good that there've been some light points as well.
Yeah, quality. Yeah, absolutely amazing. Yeah, very surprised, but I've had a blast doing this. So thank you.
Yeah, and to all our listeners, bye. We'll see you again in a very short while, because we are recording, probably just in 5 minutes, we'll be beginning recording the Final Fantasy episode for you guys.
And we will talk about Final Fantasy on that episode.
And I will do my very best to make Chris just don't drone on forever about this game. There will be time for Ghosts and Goblins as well. He will only have an hour to talk about Final Fantasy VII.
Let's wait and see.
Stay tuned.
Cheers.
See ya. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye-bye. Oh, mate, thank you so much.
Unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures, it